This is a Sound Rebel podcast.
To work with us on your podcast, go to soundrebel.co.uk. Over the Influence is no longer just a podcast. Our online community is buzzing with people like you.
Hi, it's Danny. I'm 45. I'm from Manchester. I joined the OTI community in October 21. I was sceptical at first because I'm not on any sort of social media, and I've been in a couple of other very large online sober communities before. I was amazed right from the offset at the involvement that Shaz and Ben have in the community. I thoroughly enjoy the Zoom calls, and I've met some pretty good pals along the way that I didn't realise I was in the market for. We've been out for hikes. It's just great. I've been in touch with like-minded people, and it really has been a game changer. So I'd encourage anybody to give it a go.
You've heard the podcast. Now join the conversation. Go to overtheinfluence.co.uk.
Welcome to Over the Influence. It is absolutely fantastic to have you here. Thank you kindly. A quick reintroduction as to who the heck we are. My name is Sharon Hartley, based in lovely Lancashire in the northwest of England. Just looking at the calendar, I am 4 years and 11 months alcohol free, which means big soberversary is just around the corner. Who'd have flipping thunk it? I was a daily drinker. Doesn't matter how much I drank too much, too quickly and far too often. And it was becoming dull, boring and repetitive, being stuck on the hangover hamster wheel of hell. So I decided to make a change. I thought it would be crap, to be honest. I mean, who wanted to be sober? How could you possibly enjoy life without booze in it every single day? Turns out you absolutely can. Best decision I ever made. And it's why this podcast exists. It's why we've got this community, because we wang on week in, week out about the joys of sobriety. I said it'd be brief. Ben Anderson, how are you?
Really well, thanks. 5 years, Shaz. That's unbelievable.
No.
You know, 5 years from now is 2028. That feels like a really long time away. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, and in 5 years from now, I'll be 50 flipping five, nearly. So I don't even want to talk about
Let's
that.
Let's move on. I'm Ben. I'm 3 years alcohol-free. Best decision I ever made, deciding to remove booze. After a little stint of moderation that didn't quite go to plan because lockdowns happened. And I thought, well, everyone else is drinking loads more in lockdown, so I might as well too. My moderation plan of 20 in 2020, it was called. I was going to have 20 days where I was going to have a drink in 2020. And by, I think, end of March, maybe start of April, I'd used all those 20 days up and thought, right, I need to do this full on.
But it planted the seed.
It
planted the seed that those thoughts of moderation and cutting back and, you know, starting to maybe think about changing your relationship, that's where it started for you. And now look at you, Ben, Zen Ben.
Yeah. And it's one of those things. I don't judge drinkers. We don't here on this podcast think that alcohol is evil. But for us, we're just better off without it, aren't we, Shaz? We're more well-rounded, nicer people without alcohol in our lives, I think. I can speak for both of us there.
Thank you.
Best decision I ever made. And I have to say, delighted to be talking to our guest today, because I know that he'll say something very similar, because alcohol-free life suited this man very quickly, actually, Shaz, because we've seen the journey from the beginning.
We have. We've been on the journey with Johnny, actually. That sounds good, doesn't it? We've been
Johnny's journey.
Johnny's, that's the episode title right there, Ben. You're quick. You're very, very quick. We love it when we chat to guests on the podcast who have joined the community, that have literally been on this journey with us, because we've seen it from the very, very early days. Johnny Whitehead from Halifax, more than 1 year now alcohol free. Chuffed to bits to have you sitting here. Welcome. How the hell are you?
Very well, thank you. Yeah, all the better for being alcohol free.
And there we go, in a little nutshell.
Are we going to dig into is that deeper, or is it end of podcast? Love being alcohol free. See you next week.
We keep it simple in Yorkshire, Ben, you know that.
Happy Yorkshire Day, by the way, Johnny.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you. Very good. The white rose.
I'm not going to say anything. I'm not going to say anything.
Course.
I'm across the border.
Yeah. Mm.
The red rose of Lancashire, Johnny.
Indeed. Half my family are from York, from Lancashire. So I've kind of got a foot in both camps. A foot in either side of the Pennines. I have got long legs, as you know, because I can stride up those mountains pretty quick. So
I've
got a foot in Yorkshire and a foot in Lancashire. And I've celebrated today with an Erdinger Zero, your favourite, Ben, and my favourite too.
So you're right. Nice, heavy, feels like a really good... It just feels like normal beer, Erdinger Zero, when you drink it.
Isotonic. It's actually good for you.
Yeah, and it's got loads of B vitamins as well. But anyway.
Yeah, it has indeed.
Love that. As I said in the intro, it means the world to me and Ben when we get to talk to a community member. It really, really does. Your story has been and continues to be flipping fabulous. And you're over a year now alcohol-free, and you know, we know it's not been the easiest year, and if you're happy to, we might talk about that a little bit later on in the episode. Let's rewind. Why did you join us? What went through your mind?
What went through my mind? I think, like most people, I'd become sober curious. I'm going to be like dead obvious when I talk about this and really kind of upfront and bold. I'd got to a point where I was waking up in the morning and just feeling sick, genuinely physically unwell, probably for about 2 years prior to me stopping the alcohol. I'd debated, discussed with friends, tried going alcohol-free for short periods of time, but I could never really stick it out. But when I started feeling physically unwell and genuinely unwell, you know, you're waking up in the morning, the first thing you do is you go to the toilet and you're being sick and it's just bile. It was like, do you know what? I haven't hit rock bottom, but I was fast going to rock bottom. So I had a holiday coming up and I do a fair bit at work about, you know, change activity, and I do a lot of life coaching at work and mentoring. And I thought, I need to start applying this to myself and I need to break the habit. And that's, you know, I talk to colleagues a lot at work around how they want a different outcome, put a different input in, etc. And I started to think, I've got a holiday coming up with some friends. We're going to Croatia. That'll get me out of the habit that I got into, which was, if I'm honest, being up in the morning at 7 o'clock, taking the dogs for a walk past the co-op, and grab a packet of cigarettes and a couple of beers. I'm reading William Porter's book at the moment, and that clearly now it's starting to resonate with me that was the physical dependence, you know, the need to just keep topping up and my body's screaming out for the alcohol. And I'd just fallen into that way. And I was like, God, this is totally wrong, but I just so need it just to exist. So the holiday was coming up and I was like, well, that's a perfect opportunity for me to break the habits, to get out off that cycle of doing the daily stuff. I remember laying in bed one night and thinking, I've got to find something. So I just started putting into Safari. You know, we've all done it. Am I an alcoholic? Do I drink too much? And the answer is clearly yes. But how can I stop drinking? And I was just skimming through and I found the Annie Grace's book. And it got, you know, good write-ups. And I was like, you know what? I'll give this a go. I'm being a typical Yorkshireman. It was free on Amazon. So it was it wasn't a hard sell. So that got downloaded as holiday reading. And I started to read it before we went. The couple that we went away with, definitely my best friend, they had tried around the whole, Johnny, just don't drink Monday to Thursday. We can go out on a weekend still. And I was like, right, okay, I'll try it. And then come Thursday night after I played five-a-side, I just fired down 10 pints and, you know, that's my weekend started. And it'd be like, right, I've got all weekend now to drink what I was drinking during the week. So they'd been really supportive and chatted through and they knew where I was at. They knew that I wanted to make a change. So I mentioned to them that when we went on holiday, that's when I'd be looking to break the habit. One of my old favourite beers over there, Kronenbourg Blanc, they serve it in Croatia. You can't get it in England anymore. They used to serve it in our local pub and I got awarded the pump when they ran off the last barrel because I used to drink that much of it. So I knew we were coming up to Croatia. I started reading Annie's book, started to educate myself. That was absolutely key. Got to Croatia, really cut down. You know, so obviously I wasn't drinking in front of the wife at 7 o'clock in the morning. We were going for walks and a coffee together. So that's when I knew that I'd be breaking a habit and it'd be easier then to start to adopt some of the things that I'd been learning through reading Annie's book. And I bought a load of cans of the Kronenbourg Blanc at the start of the holiday, stacked the fridge up. And when it got to the Thursday, we were due to fly home on the Saturday. I'd had about 5 cans left and I got to the last chapter of the book and I was like, right, that's it. I've made my mind up. I'm going to do these 5 cans, going to finish the Kronenbourg Blanc, finish the book, and then I'm calling it a day whilst I'm on holiday. And if I can call it whilst I'm on holiday, and I can say my first day alcohol-free was when I was sat in the sun in Croatia by the pool, where typically a lot of people would associate that with having a beer, etc., then what's the point in coming back to shitty Halifax where it's raining and cracking on with the cans when I've just had a couple of sunny days in Croatia where I haven't? So I did that. And when I came back, finished the book, I started listening to Annie's podcast whilst I was walking the dogs in the morning. Started thinking, right, you know what? I really, really need to kind of educate myself on this and go further than the book. And she had an episode where there was this bird, northern bird. She was on it, and I thought, oh, do you know what? She sounds a bit more like me. She sounds a bit more up my street, a little bit more kind of like to the point. And obviously, it was yourself, Sharon. And you talked around OTI, and I was like, right, okay, I'll download that. I'll start listening to that. And then that was it. I just threw myself into the OTI podcasts.
Amazing.
And every single podcast, every morning when I was walking the dogs, without fail, every podcast, there was something that I could cling on to and hook into. Sometimes some of the podcasts, it was like, Jesus Christ, everything this guy's saying or this woman's saying is exactly like me. But some less so, Suzanne Shaw, you know, less so. But there were bits in there that I went, I resonate with that. I get that. And then when you guys were chatting it through, I was like, yeah, I'm kind of like, I'm feeling this. And actually, it's starting to build up my knowledge of why things happened, etc. And then before you know it, you're kind of like, you're into it. Well, join the group. I can remember I just joined the community, and you were doing Snowdon, and I do like walking. It's something I always did, even when I was a drinker. The dogs need walking, don't they? They give me a purpose to get up in the morning. You know, I don't think I'd have got up and gone to co-op at 7 o'clock. If I didn't have dogs, I'd have probably gone at 9 o'clock. But anyway, Snowdon, it was coming up, and I remember contacting you, Sharon, and saying, look, I've just joined. Do you mind if I fly down in the car, do the climb with you? And you were like, yeah, sound, come down, it's all good. So I got down to Snowdon at 3 o'clock in the morning, pitch black. I mean, we talked about this the other day, didn't we? No signal on my phone. If I'm honest, you know, I'm kind of a tall guy, shaved head, tattoos, but I was shitting my pants in the middle of Wales with no, like, lights anywhere and no signal.
You were shitting it. I think I felt looking for this random.
Yeah. I was a little bit nervous. I was like, oh, I've got the right car park. And anyway, you all turned up with your red torches on. And off we went, and then just started talking to people. And again, it's the community, isn't it? And it's, you're talking to real life people and not just listening to the podcasts. And yeah, I get that. And yeah, I do that. And you know, how are you doing? What stage are you at? I'm a little bit competitive. So when people were talking to me about being a year down the line already, I was a little bit jealous. And I was like, right, you know what? I'd kind of said for a period of time, 30 days, that changed to 100 days. And a lot of people say this, don't they? They come on the podcast, or people talk about it in the community. But it just kept getting better and better and better. And I was like, yeah, fuck that, I'm done. And I said to you, I think I said to you quite early, didn't I, Shazza, that I was going to be, that's me, finished. So getting to a year, I wasn't kind of clinging on and counting down the days, because it's just like, yeah, I just don't drink anymore. And the day passed. It passed with a bit of a milestone, didn't it? Because it was my mum's funeral, which is kind of, she bookended it for me, because I know she was really proud of the fact that I'd stopped drinking, because I was a heavy drinker, and she'd written that in a card. I'm getting into it earlier. She'd written in the card and said how proud she was of me anyway, but particularly now I'd stopped drinking and that I could lend my strength and that to my dad and my sister. And it was like, well, there you go, Mum, you've totally screwed me. I'm never, ever going to drink again, because there's no way I can do it now. So yeah, a year's flown by, and I've genuinely never felt better. Never.
Oh, Johnny. Ben, where are you going to pick up there on Johnny's journey? I can see you writing notes.
I've made loads of notes. The first one is, Shaz, do you remember calling me going, have you met this Johnny in the community yet? This fella is absolutely full of beans. He wants to just turn up and go for the walk. I'm like, have you met him yet? I was like, no, I've not met this Johnny. So, what do you think? I was like, yeah, great, you know.
Let's just do it.
And I have to say, Johnny, you've been full of beans ever since. But, you know, there's a few things that I wanted to pick up on. First of all, loads of people say that to us, that even though you kind of, you listen to a story and you might start listening to it thinking, actually, I haven't got much in common with this person. They're from a different part of the world to me. They're, you know, background's different. I'm a fella and this is a woman in her 20s talking. What relevance has that got to my life? But you, so many people say they just pick up on one or two little things from each one. And of course, Johnny, you're now adding to that repertoire by getting your voice on the OTR podcast itself. And who knows how many people listen to this and go, blimey, you know what? That Johnny know exactly what he's talking about. The first thing I want to pick up on, because I know that Sharon will definitely want to talk to you about that lovely card from your mum, because you did post that in the community. And it's fabulous. I mean, we need to give that its own time. We'll come back to that in a little bit if it's all right with you. The thing that I want to pick up on first was this idea of, you said I started to educate myself and that was absolutely key. And you've mentioned it a couple of times in that opening there. So what was it that you were oblivious to, unaware of when it came to alcohol, that actually that kind of process of, you know, reading Annie's book, listening to the podcasts, what was it? Was there a particular thing that you were educating yourself on, or that was a kind of like a moment of enlightenment, or like, why was it so key?
I think the education was key because you've gone through so many cycles of, I say I'm not drinking again. And we all say it. Everyone comes on, don't they? The podcast or on the group. And, you know, I say I'm done Monday. I had so many Mondays where I was like, oh, I'm definitely not drinking. And then come lunchtime, I drink. And I'm quite a willful person. I can be quite headstrong. And it was like, well, if I'm so headstrong and I can be so determined to achieve certain things, why the fuck can I not just not have a drink? So there must be something that's stopping me do it. And that way it was just looking for that answer. Why, Ben? You know, why me? Why can't I do this? Why can't I just go a few days without drinking? I once went 2 weeks and I clung on, absolutely clung on. In fact, to be honest with you, I hated it because it was kind of like, there's no end point. I'm just doing this to see if I can do it. And it was horrible and just felt anxious and, yeah, pretty grim to be fair. So yeah, ultimately there's got to be an answer that other people can stay sober. Other people can actually turn down a drink. Other people can get to a Monday at lunchtime and go, yeah, I'm not having a drink. I don't drink. Why couldn't I? And, you know, there's nothing that special about me that means I can't do it too. And it was that. It was just starting that. I think I got lucky, if I'm honest. I stumbled across that book. Yeah, no one talked to me about it. No one gave me the kind of the nudge, or I wasn't part of this community. I just stumbled across it. I remember laying in bed and thinking, ah, oh, fuck, this might give me some answers. And off I went. And you know what? I did Annie Grace's book, and then it wasn't long. I probably listened to 4 or 5 podcasts, and I started looking through the guests and kind of going, right, actually, no, I don't want to listen to them. That sounds awful, doesn't it? But it was like, nah, nah, nah. Sharon Hartley, northwest of England. Yeah, we'll have that. Yes, I remember exactly where I was, walking by a particular part of the river. It's got a bus pipe where there's water flying out of the side. And that's when I started it. And as soon as I started that and started listening to Sharon's, joined the OTI community, started listening to those podcasts, it was Williams particularly has resonated with me. And that's why I'm reading his book now. We said it on your... on your stag do Zoom, Ben, I messaged him, didn't I? Yeah. And said, it's really, really interesting reading the book now, 12 months sober. If I'd have read it at the very start, I wouldn't have been able to connect with it as much. But now I'm reading things around people talking to you around, oh, we'll just don't drink Monday to Friday then. And it's like, shit, it's actually in there. I'm going, fucking hell, he's written about me. That's me. That is exactly me, all of it. And it's just like, it all makes sense. And, you know, having the guys in the community to lean on, you know, one or two with message directly, that's really helped as well, knowing that you've got people that are kind of just a little bit ahead of you that have been through similar stages and, you know, actually I'm feeling a little bit this way. Yeah, yeah, I did that too. And, you know, wait till you get to year two. And then it's like, well, really? Yeah, 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 it goes again. Next level up. I'm like sat in my head going, it's like a video game. This is just getting better. And it's like, I'm not stopping, but the community keeps you going. And I have had wobbles. Sharon, I think I remember you being on one of the special podcasts, and you talked around that whole, I just sometimes wonder if what it would taste like or how I'd feel And, you know, I'm adamant I won't drink again because, you know, physically 25 kilograms lighter, I'm much stronger. But I listened to your podcast and it was like, shit, yeah, you know what? I've just had that kind of moment. I've just been in holiday in Tenerife. I think I posted this in the group as well, just to share. And I had that kind of, the wife sat there. I've never ever said to her, don't drink, you know, or I'd rather you didn't drink. It's my choice, isn't it? It was my choice to drink, my choice to be alcohol free. And she was having a drink and I was like, oh, I just wonder what would happen. You know, you're on holiday. There's no one around. If I just had a red wine with a mistake, and it was a fleeting moment. It literally just in my head, out of my head. And once it had gone out of my head, I was like, how the fuck did that get in there? Where's that come from? Because I really don't want to drink.
You've had X amount of years of conditioning, of drinking at whatever level for many, many, many years. And everywhere you turn, you know, more often than not, there's other people drinking. And it's okay to have those thoughts. And it's okay to acknowledge those thoughts. Even 5 years down the line, they pop into my head. Like, I wonder what it would be like. You know what? I know the answer. I know the answer. A shit show is what it would be like. But yeah, it's a really interesting one. I'll never act upon it. I know I won't. I'm never going to drink again. I don't need to. Life's too good without it. But it is okay to have weird thoughts. It absolutely is.
And I think it's important to say, it doesn't mean that you're doing it wrong if those thoughts pop in. Those thoughts also get fewer and further between, in my experience anyway.
Yeah, massively but so, yeah.
It doesn't mean that you're doing it wrong if you have those thoughts. I think there are things... We say this all the time, don't we, Shaz? It's constantly marketed at us. It's, you turn the TV on and it's there. You drive past a billboard and it's there. It's the Hollywood heroine at the bar drinking a glass of champagne. It's the cool advertising guy. He's got a bottle of whiskey in his bottom drawer. You know, it's constantly kind of bombarded at us. It doesn't mean that you're doing it wrong if those kind of thoughts enter your head. And I think that it's one of the things that you kind of just have to accept when you decide to do this, that it's not a tick box exercise. It's not right, done that, now moved on. At the same time, I'm just constantly contradicting myself here, because it does become really far down the list of things that you think about. Like someone said on a Zoom call to us, the fact that I'm alcohol free is one of the we talked about this recently, it's Maz. Being alcohol free is one of the least interesting things about me. You know, and it does kind of, you just become a happy, confident non-drinker. But it doesn't mean that every now and then something will just kind of pop in. And Shaz, like you say, it's because we did it for years and years and years and years, and it's what society does.
Yeah. I mean, me and Johnny, we're a similar age, aren't we, Johnny? I'm about to turn 50. You're in your early 50s, have I got that right?
52. 53 in
February. There you go. Looking fine, looking absolutely amazing. 52 in Feb. So we've had there, between us, God knows how many years of drinking.
Too many.
Too many.
But you know what, Johnny? You made a real point of this when you started out on this, on Johnny's journey, is that you were quite adamant that you weren't going to change your lifestyle. Yes, you were removing the alcohol, but you weren't going to stop going to the football. You weren't going to stop going out. Why did you make that decision so early on? Because a lot of people, especially in the early days, go, actually, for me, avoiding these environments is really important right now. But you were quite clear, I'm not going to stop doing anything. The only change I'm making is that I'm not going to be drinking alcohol at these things.
When I was on holiday, my groomsman? Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe groomsman. He passed away through prescription drugs and alcohol. And it was his funeral. And I was like, well, I've got to go to his funeral and people are going to be drinking. And it was like the Wednesday after I came back on the Sunday. So that was kind of a bit of a, well, what do I do? Well, I'm just going to go. And actually, if you can get through someone's funeral, and don't get me wrong, right? I've not seen this guy for a few years. If I'm honest, he kind of went the wrong path and he kind of got in with the wrong crowd. And I had young family and it was like, no, I'm going to go a different way. But, you know, we still had lots of years of history. And I wanted to go and pay my respects. So if I go and I've got through a funeral without having a drink when everyone's absolutely racing the beers down in the quickest race possible to get as pissed as possible, not really the greatest way, I guess, to show respects to someone. But if I can do that with people that I've known for a long time and spent many a stag do with or weekend away with, if I can do that and have my alcohol free, and it was Heineken Zero, it wasn't great, if I'm honest. It probably didn't help for the advertising, but it wasn't great. But if I can do that, then why wouldn't I go to the pub with my closest friends? why wouldn't I go to football with the guy that, you know, thinks he's still a bit of a party animal, even at 65? But I quite enjoy his company until I gets too pissed. So I just kind of made that decision, Ben. And early doors, I did listen to that podcast around, I can't remember who it was. Someone talked about it and said, I'm still having a beer. Mine says 0%. The only difference is yours says 5%. And I was like, yeah, do you know what? I'm just going to cling on to that. And that's what I did. So I went and watched the football. What are you having? I'll have a beer, please, but it's alcohol free. Well, what's the point in doing that? Well, because I want to have a beer. And it's warm and it's summer. And I've been out walking dogs, so I want a beer, but I just don't want the alcohol because it's no good for me.
We are just going to take a really quick break from this episode with Johnny. Oh, he's not a Lancashire lad. I nearly said Lancashire lad then. Whoa. He's from across the border. Yeah. He won't be happy. Won't be happy with that. Yorkshireman. Not a Lancashire lad. He's a Yorkshireman. And he's a fine Yorkshireman at that. More to come with Johnny very, very shortly. Loving everything he's got to share. And I've just been loving watching Johnny, you know, from day one, from when he joined the community.
He's, top lad.
His transformation.
Great man.
It's great, just ace. So good.
Right. Do you like Over the Influence? Well, hopefully yes, because you're listening right now. Would you like more? I hear, yes, I want more. I want more OTI every week in my ears. Well, you can get it. The premium pod comes out every Monday alongside this, the main free podcast. It's £5 per month, isn't it, the premium pod? £4.99, yeah. I think.
Cheap,
you get a free
chips.
Trial if you listen on Apple Podcasts, and you get an extra dose of Over the Influence. We were thinking at one point extra shots of Over the Influence, but probably not.
Not appropriate. Don't
no.
like the no.
An extra dose, an extra slice, an extra...
An extra dose sounds like you've caught something, to be honest.
Okay.
It doesn't sound
okay.
great.
You get an extra podcast every single week. There's no
better.
Guest on it. It's me and Shaz just chatting away about alcohol-free life. We are actually going to record a premium podcast shortly, because if you don't know, behind the curtain, we're lifting the curtain. We don't record these with Johnny just sitting there waiting for us to do the middle bit. We record these afterwards at another time. We drop them into the edit anyway. That's production stuff you don't need to worry about. It's all very high tech. We're about to record a premium podcast, and Sharon, I'm going to talk about the recent stats that have come out of France about how much is spent on alcohol in terms of the cost of alcohol to French society, the healthcare side of it, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay.
And how much tax the French government brings in. And the sums, they don't add up. Sharon, they don't add up at all.
You love a stat. Ben loves a stat.
Love a sum.
He does.
But that's the kind of stuff we talk about on the premium podcast. Well, I say we. I like to bring
you.
Stories like that that relate to alcohol. Shaz likes to go, oh, I'll tell you what, I had a great weekend.
I went here,
I did that. And we go, but it's all great content. It's all premium alcohol-free content. So if you want some more, that's where you got to go. Apple Podcasts, just go to the bit that says the OTI Premium Pod and click that free trial. If you listen on Spotify or another app, you can't get a free trial because it's just the technology is not there yet. Don't ask me why. Nothing to do with us. We'd make it free if we could, but we can't. You've got to go to overtheinfluence.supercast.com and sign up that way. So overtheinfluence.supercast.com if you are a Spotify listener, for example. You can cancel at any time, though, as well. Don't forget that. Like, we're not going to tie you into the next 24 years you're paying for Over the Influence Premium, £5 a month. There's no contract. So just literally give it a go. You'll like it because loads of people do. If you don't, just cancel it. Right. What are you looking at?
I'd be 73 then.
Really?
I'd be 73. No.
Although we have said that we are here every week for the rest of time. We've said that a few times, which I think means we are tied into that now. Anyway, shall we get back to the episode with Johnny, fabulous community member?
Yes, let's do that. Let's get back to the episode with Johnny.
Have you always gone against the grain, Johnny? Because, you know, in terms of your story, what you're saying, what a lot of people do is they go, right, I'm giving up alcohol, so I'm going to avoid events like that where I'm going to be surrounded by booze. Also, a lot of people go, I'm going on holiday, so I can't possibly think about removing alcohol until after my holiday. And you were like, I'm going on holiday, so that's when I'm going to educate myself about alcohol, and that's when I'm going to remove it as well. Have you always kind of done things slightly differently, Johnny?
I think I'm bloody-minded, and it probably helped when some of my friends went, there's no way you'll do this. Not a cat in hell's chance. You'll never do it. Well, as soon as someone says that, it's like a red rag to a bull, isn't it? It's like, well, right, I'll fucking show you.
I had the same. Said to me, Johnny, you'll not do that. You'll not get through the first weekend. I said, hold that pint of rosé there. Hold that wine. Yeah. And here we are. Four years, 11 months later. I'm a bit like you, a bit bloody-minded. But Ben's got such a point there. You've been, I suppose, so determined, haven't you, from the start? You're like, no, this is how I'm going to do it. A lot of people might have said, I'm going to use this holiday as my final blowout, and then after that. And you've done the absolute opposite.
Yeah, I think it's because I probably tried before, you know, and I knew it wasn't going to work. So I talked about it right at the very beginning, didn't I? When you're coaching people at work, if they want a different result, you've got to put a different input in. So I tried it, and I tried that whole, do you know what? Yeah, I've got a wedding coming up, or I've got a stag do coming up. So I'll go and get messy on that, and then I'll start properly on Monday. Well, it never happens, does it? I'll start tomorrow. Well, tomorrow never comes. So let's do it then. And like I say, just start to build a little bit of resilience. I'd not hit rock bottom, Shazza. I said that, didn't I? When I was on a holiday, or before I went on holiday, where I was having drinks in the morning and a packet of 10 cigarillas and then drinks at lunchtime, I knew I had further to go if I wanted to hit rock bottom. But waking up in the morning and feeling sick and being sick, I knew that I was starting to physically fail. When I was taking the dogs for a walk, I mean, I've always been quite active, played football, played open age football till I was, well, I played with my son who was 20 when I played football with him. So, you know, I played until mid 40s. So I've always been physically active. Still played the five-a-side, took the dogs for a walk, could cycle, you know, cycled out the way and done stuff like that, drinking. But it just suddenly really started catching up with me. I remember taking the dogs for a walk and I threw one of the balls in the river. And it was one of those whistling balls. It's got a hole in, so when you throw it through the air, it whistles, yeah? I don't know why I need to explain that, but anyway, I did. Anyway,
because you've got holes in. Yeah, yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. Paint the pictures.
Yeah, paint the pictures. Tell a story. Yeah, yeah. It kind of went... Anyway, yeah, but anyway, it landed in the water and it sank. And the £5 a go then, right? So a typical Yorkshireman is like, there's no way that I'm leaving that ball in that river. And I'm tottering around like I'm on high heels because I've been drinking. I've had a few cans and I'm probably still smashed from the day before. So I'm walking across this river to go and get this ball, which I can see in the bottom, and I've slipped. And I had no balance at that point. You know, literally, I was old man. I'm just physically failing. And I remember falling over into the water and standing up and looking and thinking, God, that's funny. I can feel my little finger. And my finger had snapped. My middle finger had snapped sideways. And it was touching my little finger. And because I just looked at it, I was like, ooh, that's not good. So I just snapped it back, made me feel a bit sick, climbed out of the river, got the dogs, rang the wife and said, can you come and get me, please? And I remember just standing in the lane, it was pissing it down, I'm wet through anyway, my fingers throbbing, dogs are looking at me going, what's going on? And I just thought, yeah, this is it, I'm fucking done. If I carry on, I'm, do you know what, I'm going to be no good to anyone. What's the point working all those years and building up a pension and having kids and try to bring them up and, you know, you do your best, don't you? And sometimes they go their own way and maybe we'll talk about that, but... You know, what's the point? I'm just giving in. So I'm not going to give in. I'm bloody minded. I'm going to actually fight for a better life for me, a better life for my wife, a better life for my kids and for those people that I care about.
Every credit. It's brilliant. Your story is ace because, you know, you're just a normal fella. You're just a normal fella from Yorkshire that's made one change, but the impact, you know, is massive. And let's talk about that. What do your family and friends make of it? And then also, has it changed you in terms of, you know, work and things like that?
Yeah. Okay. So family are really proud. They talk about it quite a bit. Obviously, my mum wrote me that card and she talked about it before, you know, before she passed away. She was like, oh, I'm really proud of you. I'm like, yeah, good, mum. I'm glad you are. You know, I did do it for me, but I did it because when I made my list of my whys, it was to be a better person, a better dad, better husband, and a better son. Friends, some can't get their head around it. So, Ben, I did throw myself into everything. I had a weekend away with the lads and I got absolutely caned on the Friday. We went to Fuengirola. One of my friends has got some apartments there. So we went to Fuengirola and the Friday, it's like, come on, Johnny, surely you're going to have a drink. We're going away for a weekend. You can't not drink. I'm like, I can. You know, that bloody-mindedness. Come on, have a drink with us. No, not doing it. Come on, you boring bastard. Nope, I'm not doing it. So those friends, they're still my friends, but they know not to push me anymore because they know what the answer's going to be. My mate, who was really supportive, he was there. I had another friend who was trying to go alcohol-free and he did really well all weekend. Totally blobbed on the last day and just went on a mad one and regretted it. But at least he had 3 days alcohol-free and we went for omelette in the morning and a coffee. So my friend's great. We're only in the pub this weekend after a dog walk and with our closest friends. And they're like, this is just our normal now. We don't even need to talk about it. They go to the bar and the guys at the pub, the barmaids, the barmen who I've known for years, they just pour me a Nerdinger's ear or crack the top off when I walk in. It's just the norm. Every now and again, they'll go, how long is it? Well, it's a year or it's coming up to a year. And it's like, God, that's amazing. But no judgment. That's just it. That's just how it is. People at work. Okay. Obviously, I didn't go to work. I work in the UK's biggest retail bank. So I wasn't going to go to work and go, yeah, I used to drink 5 cans in the morning, taking dogs for a walk and then log on and blah, blah, blah. So they didn't know the extent of where I started from and where I've got to. I would go and work stews and absolutely cane it, you know, and, you know, being one of the senior managers at times, I was in charge of the bar tab and the bill. And I think I racked up some pretty big records for what was submitted for expenses. So pretty certain people knew that I liked to drink. Yeah. And some of my friends I work with, so they knew what I was doing. They knew the extent, but they weren't going to shout about it. And I started talking to my boss and the director, and I was like, look, we have to put a personal development plan every year. I work in cybersecurity. I've done all the courses. I've got all the ticks in the boxes. I'm actually going to put something down that's a bit more about me and how I can change people's perceptions of me. And I actually think that needs to start with who I am as a person and what I do. And so he kind of got into the loop, Ben, in terms of, yeah, well, I've stopped drinking. I've joined this community and it's been really supportive. So actually, I'm going to put my PDP about reading more books around the subject. And we started chatting that through and the feedback is that, yeah, it's kind of like you're a lot more consistent, less agitated, less up and down, less emotive, which is odd, isn't it? Because you get that flake. I get that feedback around, oh, you're less emotive. I think that actually is probably the nice term for you're not as much of a knob. And then you get the feedback from the family and son's girlfriends that you kind of hear it secondhand through the boys and they're like, do you know, your dad's really good and he can be quite emotional. He can tell you that he loves you and like, he'll come and give you a hug. My dad doesn't do that. So you kind of get that. I'm less emotive, but I'm more, I guess, more in touch with my emotions as well. And that's kind of a strange balance because people talk about emotion or Johnny's emotional. Well, historically, if someone had said that, the first thing that would have gone in my head with that feedback would have been, yeah, I can be a bit of a prick sometimes when things don't go well. And people talk about it now. I know what they mean is, yeah, he's just kind of in touch with his emotions and he can just go with the flow and be consistent and nice and kind. And I actually kind of like myself, whereas before I didn't.
I don't know if this is what you mean, Johnny, but for me, removing alcohol has just kind of leveled me out a lot. Mm. So whereas before, something could happen and I'd react, you know, straight away. And I wouldn't take that kind of breath to think about actually, how do I want to represent myself in this moment? Something would happen immediately, just react. And Shaz, we were talking about the chimp paradox the other day, weren't we? It's that kind of chimp brain, I suppose, in that book. Immediately that kind of instinctive, rah, kind of angry, aggressive or sad, whatever. I think now I'm just more on a level. And I think that, yeah, like you say, you know, I like to think that I'm a emotive guy and that I can kind of connect and show vulnerability and all those kind of positive things that may have been a bit clouded before by alcohol. I think when people, because I know exactly what you mean, it's just, it's that you're not necessarily flying off the handle straight away or immediately kind of looking at worst case scenarios, or it's just kind of a leveling out when it comes to removing alcohol. And no, I don't have those kind of artificial highs anymore, I suppose, in the sense of you have a few pints and let's face it, it does, it changes your emotional state. You know, you do get a bit of a buzz from it. It's like, you know, like a nicotine hit when you have a cigarette. It does, because it's a chemical. It's a reaction in the brain. But I don't get those lows when you wake up the next day and think, oh God, what did I do? What did I say last night? I think living life more on a level has got a lot to be said for it.
It is. It's the consistency, isn't it? I kind of thought about this because when I walk my dogs, that's my thinking time. And, you know, it used to be my drinking and having a crafty cigarette, but it's not now. I think, and obviously I knew that we were going to do the podcast, and I'm kind of thinking, well, what they're going to ask me, what we're going to talk about. And you just use one word there, vulnerability. And I've shown vulnerability at work by actually sharing my story on Alcohol Awareness Week. And it went pretty big, you know. I kind of got a little bit nervous when you're seeing the number of hits going up, but you know, you've got like people who are on the board at the bank writing to you and going, thank you so much for doing that and being bold, and brave, but showing that vulnerability. Now they're using words that even historically when I drank, I would have described myself with those words. I knew I had vulnerability. I knew I was kind. I knew I was caring. I knew it. And I used to get frustrated because people couldn't see it. And do you know what? I'm thinking about it this last week. It's because you've got a mask on. And what people are seeing the other side of the mask, looking through that face, they're looking through the alcohol at you, and you're sat the other side going, what's fucking wrong? Why can't they see that I'm a nice person, that actually I'm getting frustrated because you can't see that I'm saying these things because I care. And it's because it comes across wrong. What's coming out of the mouth of the mask is that high, that low, you know, the frustration, but it's just like, so not, you're not in control of what's being said. And then you take away the mask of the alcohol, and then people see you for what they are. And now they're using words that I would have always used to describe myself. But now I'm sat there going, oh, do you know what? People now see it. And that feels really nice. And I think that's what I mean when I said I didn't like myself. I knew I was a nice person and I knew I had good attributes, but I didn't like myself because people couldn't see it. And I'm like, what's wrong with me? And now they're kind of seeing it, and you're getting that feedback from the lad's girlfriends around, oh, ain't it really nice that your dad will just come and give you a hug and stuff? And you're like, yeah, it's gone. The facade's gone and people see the true you. So when we talk about being your authentic self and being the best version of yourself, it's like, well, there you go. I've just got rid of a fucking mask that I didn't need. And why the hell did I use it for so long? And I don't have many regrets, but I do regret not doing this earlier. And I know people have talked about that. I mean, Shazza, you've said the same thing, but we were on a Zoom, weren't we? On, was it Friday tea time? Might be Monday morning I joined, because if I hadn't been on a Zoom for a while, done my mum's funeral, got that out of way, so I'll join a couple of Zooms. And there were a couple of mid-20-year-olds on, and is it Charlie. Yeah, she was on. And I was just so full of admiration. I mean, she's 2.5 years, isn't she, alcohol-free?
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, do you know what, kids? You've given yourself the best chance. And I know, you know, we've all got different challenges, and Charles' challenges will be different to my challenges. But she's giving herself the best chance to be happy by removing the alcohol at the doors and then talking about it within the community. And just, you know, I could see, I was watching Shazza because she was on the video, wasn't she? And she started to respond, you just a couple of messages. And I think that's what's key about the community. You know, you're just people going, we've got your back. You know, well done. Yeah, I feel that too. And you kind of look and go, even though it's the other side of the Atlantic. I don't know. She's from America. I don't know. Right. But obviously not in Halifax, but it's kind of like, wow. And you kind of listen to this person and kind of going 20 odd year old and they've already made this decision. Shit. I wish I'd done it at 25.
No. I feel exactly the same. The same when I hear these young'uns. I'm like, oh, you've saved yourself 30 years of pain. And we can say that, Johnny, can't we? You know, I'm pushing 50, you're in your 50s now. And it's amazing to hear it, sharing stories like yours. It's so important. It's so, so important to inspire people our age and older and indeed younger. So thank you. I'm aware that we're a little bit pushed for time now. Johnny, do you mind if we just talk a little bit about your mum? Is that okay?
Yep. Yeah, of course it is.
Because, as you mentioned a little bit earlier, your mum's funeral, she passed away just a few weeks ago, didn't she?
And she did.
So sorry. Yep. So sorry when
Thank
we
you.
Heard that.
Yep.
Her funeral that you organised was on the day you hit 1 year alcohol-free.
Sign from the gods, wasn't it? Yeah, I'd not been counting down the days to 365. And when I was organising the day and engaging with my dad over it, I'm like, 10th of July. I'm sure I've got somewhat on that day. Anyway, I didn't, and just booked it in. And then it was like, it just sat with me. I was like, oh shit, yeah, 365. And by then I'd opened my mum's card and I was like, wow, the universe has aligned. So yeah, and you know what? If I'd have done the funeral, I wouldn't have been able to organise it. I'd have been all over the shop. I'd have just been firing down beers, Thatcher's, cider, you know, just to try and level out, or thinking I was levelling out, but clearly I wouldn't have been. But yeah, nailed that. She'd said how proud she was. And it's kind of like, oh, do you know what? The universe aligned, because actually I need to be sober to do this. I'm glad I've got 12 months prior, because you do get stronger, don't you? You build up your resilience as every day passes by. It's like, yes, another one ticked off. Not that I'm counting days, I'm not. Yeah, but do you know what I mean? You're building that resilience. And then there's little things that happen. My friend's funeral, going away with the lads, your mom passing away. And I just knew I had the strength. Before, I would have been full of luck. I just would have had so much self-doubt. Can I do this? God, I need to get my wife to help me, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, nah, fuck it, I've got this, nailed. On I go, get it organised, smashed it out, stood up, did the eulogy. I know mum wanted it to be she wanted it to be like a summer fete. And she got it. Everyone turned up in like the nice suits and colourful clothes. And she said, you know, try and get some laughs. And, you know, you stood in front of God knows how many people. It was bloody full, it was a crematorium. And you're kind of going, this is a bit of a tough gig you've given me this, mum. You want some laughs as well. But I managed to do it. There is absolutely no way on earth I could have done that drinking. Yeah. And I know I made her proud even just by doing that. And that was enough for me. And I'll just keep on doing it, because she'll always be in here in my heart. So, you know, I know.
Johnny, you've mentioned a couple of times through this episode a card that your mum shared with you that she gave to you just before she passed away. Do you have that there? Or would you mind if we...
I can run and get it, because it's literally one flight of stairs down.
Go and get it, because I'd love you to share with us just a few of those words. He'll be out of puff now when he gets back, Ben.
He won't be, because he is absolutely smashing it. In terms
he's
of the
a lean meat machine,
he really is. He talks about the kind of, you know, the personality changes and the benefit. He's looking bloody good. Is that Johnny? Hello, mate.
He's back. He's not out of breath. He's like 25 kilograms lighter. I know. We've just been talking about you, Johnny, as you're running upstairs.
Well, I heard, because I've got my earphones on, haven't I?
Yeah, he's got his Bluetooth.
Oh hell, I forgot about that bit.
Technology. Who would have it? Right, I'll read it out, because it's not long, right? So Jonathan, she signed the Jonathan. She's obviously got my sister to write it, because I had to write my sister's as well. She said, as your mum, I have loved you beyond measure. I have always burst with pride, but never more so than I do now. Your sober life brings out the very best in you, and it provides my heart with peace. It has also brought you the strength to lend to Dad, your family and Amanda. For that, I am incredibly grateful. And then please know, my darling son, that I've always carried you in my heart.
That's amazing.
So there you go.
You know,
that
the,
is amazing,
the bit,
Johnny.
The bit I love the most about that, Johnny, is you've talked about how you knew that you had the strength to tackle certain situations, but I love that your mom saw that as well. And I love that, you know, the peace of mind that you deciding to remove alcohol has given her, in terms of the strength that you were able to not just have yourself personally, but the lending the strength to other members of the family. Really lovely. mate. Really, yeah. What a fabulous gift you gave your mum there.
Yeah, yeah. And it made me proud of myself that she could see it. And do you know what? I'm really glad that she could see that before she passed away. So, yeah. Bit wobbly now. Ooh. But yeah, all good. So yeah, anyway, it was a tough day, but we did it with smiles on his faces and we made her proud. So
great. Amazing. It's good. Johnny, thank you.
Pleasure.
Ben?
Right, should we go into an outro?
Oh, I don't know what to say now. Got all emotional. Johnny, thank you for sharing that. It's hugely appreciated. It just seems a really beautiful, fitting end to a fabulous chat with you. So thank you. Lots of love. We think the world of you. I'll see you up a mountain soon with your long legs and your big boots and your short shorts.
Yeah, keep up. Catch me if you can.
Johnny Whitehead, OTI community member, Yorkshireman, just ace. What a fantastic episode. He's been flipping through it as our mate, Johnny, over the past few months. And we so appreciate you sharing your story with us here on Over the Influence. Just keep doing what you're doing, Johnny. Top lad. Johnny lad, as I like to call him. Not really lad. He's to the side of 50. But you know what? He is. He's Johnny Ladd, and we think he's ace. So hope you enjoyed that half as much as we did.
Johnny listens to the premium podcasts every single week. If you want more Over the Influence, and who wouldn't want more of this? You know what I mean? Shaz, don't you think?
Yeah, I would. Yeah. I'd like more.
I'm just looking back over some of our premium podcast episodes over the last few months. Doing It Again Sober, that was a great one from the 17th of July. That's when you were talking about going back to Iceland.
Iceland.
Wrecked in Reykjavik. You're now going back to Iceland and you're doing it again, alcohol free. Yeah. I love those kind of things where you can actually, like, it's the same place that you're going to, but you're just doing it completely differently. What else have we talked about here? We've done things you find in your teenage bedroom. That's a premium podcast. We do have features on the premium podcast. We don't have features in the main podcast, but this all started with a feature called Shit Social Media. Because one of our community members, posted in our forum as part of the online community. Oh God, look at this that I posted on Facebook years ago. God, isn't this stupid now looking at it, you know, unplugged from the matrix. I can't believe that I used to post stuff like this. How embarrassing. But we made it into a feature called Shit Social Media. Then it turned into Shit Things in Shops, because it's the little things like, you've got that sign, haven't you? This house runs on love, laughter and Prosecco.
Still got them here. They're on the firewood pile for later this year.
Anyway, we do shit things, all sorts. So this was Shit Things You Find in Your Teenage Bedroom. It was a few weeks back because I found I was doing a clear out for mum and dad. So like, you're 35 now, you've got a son and a mortgage. You don't need to have all this crap in your old teenage bedroom. And I found a load of old books, a hungover cookbook.
Brilliant.
Was one of them. And what was the other one, Shaz? What was it called? Do you remember the Ladybird Guide to the Hangover. Yeah, I had two of them for some reason.
Yeah, not one, but two copies.
Anyway, we talk about stuff like that on the Premium Pod. It's really fun, actually. Like, we love recording it, don't we?
Yeah, we really do. And there's me. Yeah, it's great. But it actually
it's
is.
It's great.
It's great.
If you want to find out, go to Apple Podcasts and scroll down and just click the bit try for free, because you can try it for 7 days if you're an Apple Podcast listener for free before the $4.99 a month kicks in, or $49.99 a year. If you want to listen and you're on Spotify, another app like that, go to overtheinfluence.supercast.com. And that's where, there's no free trial with that, unfortunately. But you can try it and there's no contract. So if you want to give it a go and then you go, actually, this isn't for me, we're not tying you in forever till Shaz is 72 or whatever we just talked about in the middle bit. Just go and give it a go. It's just a bit more. If you love listening to the podcast every week, maybe you caught up on all of them now, you've done the entire back catalogue and you want some more stuff to listen to. Well, you don't just get the new premium podcast episodes either, you do get access to the entire back catalogue. So you've got a whole new channel, and we've got hours and 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 hours.
It's a lot.
And hours of us talking about premium alcohol-free content to listen to. So there you go. Overtheinfluence.supercast.com, or do the try for free bit on Apple Podcasts. And breathe.
Woo! Amazing. Ben, thank you. Johnny, thank you. And thank you to you for listening. We will be back same time next week.